Now, off air, you said to me, I am the guy that they bring in to make boring things sound interesting. What do you mean by that?
I'm your hired gun to, yes, to come in and say, because there's lots of things in Sydney, there's lots of things everywhere.
Absolutely.
In country towns and rural areas that you just take for granted and you don't really think that there's the history behind it.
No, not at all.
Or if you do, how are you ever going to find out about that? And I was thinking last week when Lisa Murray was on and she was talking about her sort of favourite things in the dictionary, and there's lots of quirky things in the dictionary as there are in history, and as an urban historian, the one she was talking about with traffic, reading the roads.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I thought, yeah, that's pretty groovy. Let's have a look and do that, because we all are regulated by road signs and things on the road, and we don't even think about it.
Like, no.
I was just coming in on the bus. We got caught at traffic lights. We're in the right-hand lane to turn right. There's arrows on the road. Everyone else is in the other lane because they're going in a different direction.
There's dotted lines on the road.
There's dotted lines so you can overtake. There's,
stop
hard
signs.
Lines so you don't, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, these all actually have a past, because cars, of course, that are now completely ubiquitous, you could argue that cars have probably had the biggest impact on shaping the way cities actually function, let alone look. I mean, they weren't always around, of course. Cars are relatively new. They're only about 100 years old. And prior, before cars, you didn't need any of this traffic regulation because everyone was moving around on horses or horse and carts. Now, there was some kind of rules of the road, can't just go crazy, but everyone's going effectively at walking pace, so you don't really need that much regulation.
No chance of a high-speed crash, really.
Not as much. Although, horses can go crazy and run off.
Oh, yes.
Not as much. But when you start getting motor vehicles, cars, even bicycles coming onto the road in the years around the First World War, so we're talking kind of 1910-ish, suddenly you've got this issue that you've got all these different vehicles happening at once, and how do you make places safe? Now, at the very start, it wasn't, again, much of an issue, because there's not many cars. Everyone's on horses still. We've got horse trams, horse buses, all this sort of stuff. But by the early 1920s, there are more cars appearing on the roads and less carts. And so you start to get a few things that appear. Now, the first one, which is, funnily enough, was something that I grew up with, and you do still see them around, but they've already been taken off all the roads in Sydney, was a thing we used to call silent cops.
Oh, yeah, I know those.
Yeah. So these
were
like...
very rare, though.
Yeah, I would challenge anyone in Sydney to find one now. You might still find them in the country, but again, this is the thing. So these were like little steel... they look like a dinner plate.
Yeah.
A raised dinner plate. Yeah. That was about the size of them. That went into intersections. Essentially, they went on to T-intersections mainly, sometimes at kind of crossroads. But they'd be put right in the middle of the road. And this was the first idea in Sydney. And they were, at the moment, I'm going to claim that they were actually invented in Australia. They appear in the Northern Beaches in about 1922.
Now, oh, right. In the Northern Beaches.
Yeah. If someone knows differently, don't ring me.
But just we will, go with it. Just go with it.
We'll put that in brackets. So on the Northern Beaches, and the idea was, this is the first time they had anything on the roads to say, listen, if you're coming up to the intersection here, you really need to be on the left and you need to be turning around this thing, because if you do what you used to do, someone's going to run into you.
Mm.
Because prior to this, and really when horses and carts were going, even though people were encouraged to go on the left-hand side of the road, which was a very British thing, if you see photographs of Sydney in this period, really people just went anywhere.
Yeah.
Because you just, if you've got to drop stuff off on the right-hand side of the road, you just veer your horse across to the right. So there's things, there's lorries and horse-drawn lorries and carts and cabs and all the rest of it all over the place.
Yeah.
But once you've got cars, you can't do this. So the first thing is they get these silent cops. Now, my understanding is that they, in fact, were all taken out of Sydney about 2012.
Quite recently.
Yeah. Not too long ago, but long ago enough, I know, for some listeners to have never seen them. Anyway. So that's our first little thing. But then, okay, this is a good experiment. That seems to work, they think. Let's try something else. So about 1928, so about 6 years later, the police come up with this idea that what they might do is actually paint a line down the middle of the road so people can visually see that they have to be on the left-hand side of this line. Now, as we were saying, lines now are absolutely, there is not a road everywhere you can drive on, unless it's gravel.
Not in Sydney.
No, that doesn't have a line marking.
Yeah.
But this was a new idea in 1928, totally new, to the point where newspapers were full of it. Like, you should get down. It was the first ones were hand-painted on the road by the police in King and Market Streets, right in the middle of the city, which is, they were busy streets. And it was quite literally an experiment, just to see what would happen. And it works, because one of the things that humans like to do, as much as we say we don't, is actually follow instructions. So once there's a line on the road, people go, oh, right, I've got to be on the left.
Yeah, clearly.
And this, of course, starts to make traffic flow better in the city.
Yeah.
And so they try it on a couple of other roads. And then 1938, they come up with this amazing new machine, which actually does it as a sort of automated thing. So you paint, pour the paint in. We see them. You see them everywhere now when they're doing the highways. Pour the paint in, it does the road.
Yeah. A lot easier than hand painting.
And it totally transforms the city, of course, because suddenly you have traffic sort of regulation and people on the right side of the road.
You have order, God forbid.
Yes, exactly. Now, the funny thing, I think, this is what, you know, how little things through big things grow, etc., is that they used to be solid lines, but then this pesky thing called World War II crops up, and there's a complete shortage of paint. So one of the things they then start doing is actually making broken lines. Because they don't have enough paint.
So that's why, that's how it started.
The broken line and the solid line. So
right.
The whole thing. So that's a kooky little thing from the war. You can, if you're into your war history, you can take that on. And then the sort of third thing that we wonder, that's in that little article, is traffic lights.
Yeah, because I was just about to ask you. I was like, well, you know, the painting kind of makes sense, but this is like an automated thing.
Yeah, now this is absolutely revolutionary. Now, traffic lights had been around for a bit as experiments from about the 1860s. Mainly in the UK. Well, not mainly, only in the UK. So about 1868, the UK muck around with an idea of a traffic light, which was gas propelled. So it had a traffic policeman there that would change a thing. Unfortunately for them, it actually blew up and injured the police.
Yeah, not surprised. Yep.
So that experiment was scrapped. And then around 1912, when cars are becoming big in the US, we get the first traffic lights. But again, it's a policeman sort of changing the lights, etc. Mm. And in Sydney, they appear in October 1933. So November last month was sort of the anniversary. And again, they're a complete experiment and they're put in on the corner of Kent and Market Street. So right in the middle of the city. It's a busy intersection, and they are automated. And they're the standard ones we see now, green, orange, red. But because no one's dealt with these things before, in fact, on the green for go, it also had written go. And on the red for stop, it also had written stop. So you could, you know, get your visual things, but also into your brain, it's going green means go, red means stop, green means go, red means stop. And they were the only traffic lights in Sydney for 3 years. So until 1936, that's it. And again, they're this sort of technological marvel. So the papers are full of these ideas that they've got robots in the city. they call them the thinking machines, the thinking traffic machine. And the newspapers were so sort of enthusiastic about it, no doubt sort of pushed along by the authorities.
Yes.
That there were articles about, if you haven't seen this thing, you really should go down and check out this crazy machine. And there's photos in the papers of people standing around on the city streets looking at the traffic lights because this was such a revolutionary idea. And then 3 years later, they go, you know what, this actually works. So 14 more intersections through the city get them. And of course, then it flips over and off we go. And now there's a traffic light on every single corner in this city, apparently.
Literally everywhere.
They're the three main things. You know, we could... There's many. I've got a friend who works at the RTA. There's many things we could bang on about traffic calming and et cetera. But these sort of ubiquitous, we don't even notice, little things in the city all have a past, all have someone at a meeting at some point who said, you know what we should do? So the dictionary is obviously full of this stuff, but I think that's a nice little one to leave on.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting. Now you know where your traffic regulation has come from.
Exactly. Next time you stop at the lights and you're going, why has this thing not changed? You can also think, oh, but it has a history, so it's all okay.
Yeah, and at least it's not gas, so it won't hurt
at
you.
At least it won't blow up.
Mark, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
See you, Alex.